The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome back into First Take, and Stephen A., look who's here, the one and only Frank Isola. I have company, and Stephen A. is working harder than you. You had Nets postgame last night, and then you host your SiriusXM radio show this morning, and you're here with us. Yep. So it's so good to have you.
Steve called in today, by the way.
Oh, he did.
I was wondering, why is he in L.A. When there are no playoff games there? He must be getting ready for the Lakers season open.
Oh, come on. You know why he's – look at him. Look at the chain. Look at him. He's just hanging out.
I was summoning my Port Charles General Hospital, so I had some work to do out here. But let me say this to the American people today, everybody across the world that watches First Take. Frank Isola has been an outstanding NBA reporter for many, many years. I know you see him on Around the Horn and PTI, and he's doing the stuff for SiriusXM Radio, the starting lineup, doing a great job with my man Brian Scalabrine. But bottom line is this. Frank Isola has been a big-time NBA reporter for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so it is my honor and privilege to have this brother on here with me. He does a great, great job. He's been a friend for years, and I'm happy to have you on the show, my brother. I really
am. Thank you. By the way, so Steve and I were both at the Daily News at the same time. I knew Steve before he became a big star.
Oh, so you knew him before he was Stephen A? When he was
Before,
Steve.
Before he moved to a gated community.
Okay, so we can just scrap this, the gated community.
Molly,
so let's talk about Steve.
So we used to play pickup games, and Steve knows this.
Okay.
We'd be covering the playoffs, and now Steve had moved on. He's covering the Sixers, doing a great job.
Starting to feel
we would be
a
in Miami. You know, the media would get together, play pickup games. Mm-hmm. Stephen A, now he's a good player.
Yeah.
But he's a little Patrick Beverly. Runs his mouth.
No surprise.
So he was the original volume shooter.
Yeah.
Shot a lot,
talked
a lot. That's where the expression volume shooter comes from. Stephen A., that's our guy.
You know, I was relatively quiet. I let the long-range game speak for me. I didn't say much on the basketball court. I was draining James. That's where the comparisons to Patrick Beverly don't equate. I was a shooter.
He was.
Defended. I wasn't thinking about defense. I was thinking about shooting.
Hey, real.
I was actually quiet.
Was Steve the same guy as Stephen A.?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
In the movie, he'll play himself.
Obviously.
We'll get a younger person to play me, but he was definitely himself.
Obviously he would. And he'll reference himself multiple times and compliment himself. All right, let's do this. Last night was not the redemption game many expected from Kevin Durant after a lackluster game one performance from the superstar that we are not accustomed to seeing. Brooklyn blew a 17-point lead as KD and Kyrie, they went cold in the second half. Listen to this, combining for 1 of 17 in a 7-point loss to Boston, head coach Steve Nash not willing to put all the blame on his star players.
Clearly it helps you if they have their typical outings, but that's not the only way. I think there's plenty of ways. You know, you look at their superstars, we didn't have, incredible games. So, it's a team sport, it's a team effort, and I think our group's got a lot of ways where we can improve. And it's important for our group. It's a new team with little common experiences to go through some of these battles, learn from it, and be able to execute under more pressure.
All right, gentlemen. So Boston taking a commanding 2-0 lead as the series shifts to Brooklyn on Saturday night. I mentioned this earlier. Stephen A., the countdown crew, will be on the court there at the Barclays Center for that pivotal game. Frank, tell me this. If the Nets lose this series, how are we now going to be looking at KD and Kyrie?
Well, think about it. They both came together to win championships here.
Yeah.
And if they lose in the first round, that will mean that they've won one playoff series. Obviously, the first year in the bubble, they didn't play together. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting what Steve Nash said, Molly, because after the game, he doesn't want to put it on Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. But Steve Nash is a 2-time MVP in this league.
Yeah.
One of the assistant coaches on that team is Amari Stoudemire. If they ever went 1 for 17 in the second half of a game, Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire would walk off the court knowing we were to blame.
Yeah.
So Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, we all talk about how great they are. Jay Williams talked about Kyrie could be the most talented guard of all time.
Did.
A lot of us agree that Kevin Durant could be the best offensive player of all time. They went 1 for 17. Mm-hmm. This is on them. They're terrific players, but this was a bad second half and a really bad fourth quarter for them.
You know, how you can perceive them, I'll say it to you. They got to make changes if they lose in this first round. I mean, I'm talking about the culture of the Brooklyn Nets. It's KD's team. As a player, he ain't going anywhere. I mean, he's a superstar, and we all get that. But the culture, the voice that they had, and the way they've basically been able to run the organization, that has to change because it hasn't amounted to much. And that's what this really comes down to. Now, up until these two games, it wasn't KD's fault. As far as I'm concerned, the first year, we all knew he was going to be out, okay, because he had torn his Achilles in the finals against Toronto, okay? Kyrie, as a result, ended up only playing 20 games without KD that first year. Season gets halted, pandemic takes fold. All of a sudden, there's a four-month hiatus, per se. They come back to the bubble. Kyrie's encouraging people not to play. They end up playing anyway, and then ultimately they go home. He comes back in December. Season starts December 22nd. And 2 weeks later, Kyrie needs a mental break because he's traumatized by the riots at the U.S. Capitol. You have seen this kind of stuff. Now, why would I bring that up? Because ultimately, Molly Frank brought up the fact that Kyrie obviously has been fasting. It's Ramadan, and obviously we understand his faith, and that's what he's practicing. Ain't nobody throwing any shade on that. Props to him. We understand that. The flip side, however, is that you're on the court, and well, for whatever reason, you acknowledge you were a bit docile. I would remind you, and I think you pointed it out this morning on your show, Frank, the defensive player of the year rolled up into the arena with a damn cape on, for crying out loud, a boxing robe on with defensive player of the year in the back. If anything, that should alert your height and your senses. You Kyrie Irving, Marcus Smart basically talking about he coming for you. What you gonna do about it? And Kyrie was nowhere to be found. And so when you look at it from that perspective, I mean, that's a problem. And you look at KD, what I see is a relatively skinny dude that for the first time I saw rattled. They got physical with him. He didn't seem himself. He's bouncing the ball off of his foot. He's getting his shot blocked. He's missing shots he normally makes. I mean, the list just goes on and on. 0 for 10 in the second half. Kevin Durant, one of the greatest offensive talents this game has ever seen in its 75-plus year history. And we looking at him like, who the hell is this guy? And then you got people looking at the coaching. Well, if you're looking at the coaching, Frank, you know this. How do we not look at Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving? Because Kyrie Irving's on the record stating, we don't need a coach. We don't need a coach. And KD, as loyal as they come, KD a good brother, man. He's a good brother, so he's the kind of person. He'll never speak against. The closest he'll come to speaking against a teammate is when he checked Bruce Brown for talking about the Boston Celtics and how we can exploit them without Robert Williams. He said, we don't need to be talking like that. We don't need to be saying any of that. Just hoop. That's the closest you'll ever see KD to calling out a teammate. It's not something he'll ever do. But in the end, because that's the way that he is, he's made of that cloth. It's giving people a license to get away with a lot of stuff. And when you look at Steve Nash, he's there because KD and Kyrie okayed it. We love Steve Nash. You know Steve Nash. I know Steve Nash. He's a good man. He's a good person. And I'm not questioning his basketball IQ. It's one thing to know the game. It's another thing to teach it. And you might not need to teach it to Kyrie and KD, but you damn sure need to teach it to everybody else. And because they don't have that, we're looking at a collective collapse. I believe, Frank, they will win Saturday. But who would have thought that we would be sitting here saying the Brooklyn Nets are on the verge of getting swept? That is what is in danger of happening right now. And if that happens, oh, my Lord, the house comes crumbling down. You got to make changes.
Are you blaming that now? Are you going to blame this on Steve Nash? Because here's the thing. It's fair game because he hasn't accomplished anything yet. Frank Vogel just got fired. He won a title. Every time Doc Rivers starts a playoff series, everyone thinks that he's going to be out, and he's won a championship. I think all that stuff is fair game. But if you look at the last 40 seconds of game one, they need one stop, and they give up two layups. So that's kind of on everybody. And on that final possession, both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving lose Jason Tatum. You can't allow the best player in the Boston Celtics to go unfettered through the lane and get a layup. And then, obviously, last night, 1 for 17. You brought up an interesting point, though, about changing things. It's funny, the team with the best record in the league, the Phoenix Suns, here's a team that went to the finals. So all we ever hear about is the NBA season doesn't really matter. It's not that important. Well, why did it matter to the team that went to the finals last year?
Yeah.
They play every game like it matters. And I think the Brooklyn Nets, the way that they started this season, and you brought it all up, first of all, you had James Harden out of shape. Yet Kyrie, forget, you know, whatever your position is on his vaccination, we all know at the very least it was bizarre that he wasn't on the team, mm-hmm. that he was only playing road games and not was able to play in Toronto and obviously in New York up until March. So you had that whole situation. Then you make a major trade and the key piece you bring in hasn't played yet. So, you know, the Nets, they've kind of treated this season to get ready for the postseason, and it's kind of catching up to them. Well, it's been this, like, herky-jerky regular season, and now guess where they are? 0-2.
And Kevin Durant forced to carry the load.
That's right.
Let me be very, very clear to answer your question directly. The person I'm holding most responsible for all of this is Kyrie Irving. When you want to look at Kevin Durant and say he looked exhausted. Let's say, for example, he may not have looked rattled. And instead, somebody might say he looked exhausted. Well, why he look exhausted? Could it be because he's had to carry this load all season long by his own damn self? Could that be possible? Because guess what? Kyrie's out. And guess what? James Harden wants out. And KD is left there holding the bag, having to deal with everything. That might be a reason. I'm holding no one more accountable than Kyrie Irving. And then Kyrie Irving's the one that sat up there and said, for the record, we don't really need a coach. So when I look at Steve Nash and I look at whatever his deficiencies may be, which is solely on experience, which is something that he'll gather and gain as time goes on. Well, why is an inexperienced head coach your head coach for a championship contender? Because Kyrie pushed for it and KD signed off on it, okay? So we have to look at it from that perspective. Now, of course, Sean Marks is the basketball executive and we understand it's his decision, but we all know who the faces of this franchise, who are the faces of this franchise. It's Kyrie Irving and it's Kevin Durant. And if you're gonna blame Kevin Durant for anything outside of his performance in these first two games, which is a complete aberration from anything I've ever seen in his entire career, spanning more than 935 games, okay? I have never seen this KD in these first two games. The only other thing to hold KD accountable for is that you the face, you the two-time champion, you the two-time NBA Finals MVP. You're the dude that can stand up and say, look, damn it, here's what we're doing. Period. And everyone will have to stand down and listen. And I don't know if that's what he has done.
And you know, you mentioned it. You want to be, everyone has to be all in. And it seems like Kevin Durant took a leap of faith to come here. Mm-hmm. James Harden wasn't all in this year. And Kyrie hasn't been all in the last 2 years. This is Kevin Durant we're talking about. Yeah. He deserves better than that.
He deserves a lot better.
Yeah, and he had to do it all by himself until
he deserves a lot better.
Let's keep in mind, the Nets were preseason favorites to win the title. And now we're worried they might get swept.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day.
Well, do a 180 and Bede did just that, hitting the turnaround three at the buzzer to give the Sixers the win in OT. A seven-footer hitting a game-winning three sure sounds like MVP to this girl. And Bede also ended with a game-high 33 points and 13 rebounds as Philly took a commanding 3-0 series lead. Frank Isola, what message did Embiid just send to the NBA with that performance last night? Because that finish was unreal.
Yeah, and we all know what happened 3 years ago up in Toronto when they lost on the Kawhi Leonard shot, and he's walking off the court crying. You see him last night, the big smile on his face. Drake is walking behind him.
Redemption.
Drake's already changed from the Raptors now, I guess, to the Philadelphia 76ers. But it's a great moment for Embiid, who really has taken ownership of this team. And we all know that Joel Embiid's been a great player. The issue with him has been his fitness, I think. You know, I don't think he took his career seriously enough. I think now that he's gotten himself in better shape, I think he understands the leadership part of it. Ben Simmons isn't there. James Harden wanted to go there. And I love what happened at the end of game two when he approached. You don't see that. He's going after Nick Nurse and saying, stop complaining about calls. And that's been a big part of the series thus far. And what do you do in the next game? On the road. That's where you make your bones in the NBA. You win road playoff games. And that's the biggest shot of Joel Embiid's career.
I think that Joel Embiid just reminded us all of his level of greatness. This is one of the great, great big men we've ever seen in the history of basketball from a talent perspective. When you think about the days of George Mikan and to the Wilt Chamberlains and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's and, you know, obviously Shaq and let me not forget Bill Walton, and because he was absolutely phenomenal until he hurt his foot. People don't realize how great Bill Walton was. He was something special. Let's throw his name in there as well. Believe it or not, even with the modern-day era and we've gotten away from the big man, we can't ignore Embiid. You can put Embiid right in that conversation with those guys. Let's say, for example, he wins a championship. You can put him in that conversation. Let's say we look at just from a talent perspective and compare his talents to the great, great talent, the big men that we've seen throughout NBA history. He's right up there. Joel Embiid is right up there. And I think that that's something that we have to pay attention to. He was my vote for league MVP because I took into account not just the fact that he took this season seriously from day one, the fact that he had to carry the load that he had to carry because of Ben Simmons and all the stuff that was going on with him. That was such an incredible, incredible distraction to the city of Philadelphia and the Philadelphia 76ers franchise. And then the trade for Harden and how that was expected to take something away from him to some degree or what have you. Still in all, they were winning basketball games. They were riding Joel Embiid to win those basketball games. And I'm certainly not about to sit up here and sneeze at the Joker, Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I've been big about Devin Booker and the consideration he warranted. But when I think about knowing Philadelphia the way that I do, Frank, working there for 17 years with the Philadelphia Inquirer, knowing how that city is, how it can be, and it's not an insult, it's a compliment, because it's a rough city and you got to be a rough rider to be up in that city, and to know what Ben Simmons did in terms of what his situation was, not really wanting to be there to play for them, and Joel Embiid having to shoulder all of that. I think that Joel Embiid this year has shown his greatness. He's shown his leadership. And he's got one of the great, great personalities in the game of basketball as well. This is a star that you want to shine a light on, because you never know what he's going to say. You do know he's going to back up whatever he says. He's not shying away from anything, and it's actually a lot of fun. And he makes you laugh 90% of the time that he's saying something. No matter what it is that he says, you actually enjoy it. It is a great, great thing for the NBA that he is the superstar that he is, because he is a superstar.
And I think, too, he fills up a room the way Shaq did. Shaq embraced the
fact
he was the biggest guy there, and he loved it. He loved being the center of attention. Everybody look at me, a player that we know that played for the Knicks, Eddie Curry, was 7 feet tall. He always would kind of duck down. He didn't really want people looking at him. Embiid is like, I'm the guy.
Big
Everyone look at me. Shaq was the same way. I love the way Embiid has played this year, but we also know this, Steve. You talked about Philadelphia being a tough market. Things can change rapidly. And if they get out of this round, which we think they will, and if they play Miami, and it's looking like that could be the case, you get knocked out in the second round, it's still going to be on his resume yet to advance past the second round. So there's still a lot of work to be done. They've done a good job putting a team around him. And I'll tell you something else, too, on behalf of Doc Rivers. Last night, late in that game, and I'm not saying if it goes to double overtime, they're not winning.
But plus,
Joel Embiid dribbled himself into a corner. He had nowhere to go. Doc Rivers sprinting down the bench, calling timeout. I know everyone in Toronto is upset because he said he was on the court when he called timeout. Give me a break. Make a stop right there. But Embiid, that was a great play by Doc and a great shot by Joel Embiid. And he wanted it. When he addressed Nick Nurse, he wanted the media to ask, what were you talking about? And he had no problem saying, I told him, in parentheses, stop complaining about calls.
But Frank, you and I both covered this league for decades. Here's the deal. Like you said, they got to get out of the second round. That's true. But you also know we're going to highlight why if they don't.
That's true. Yep.
And if you're Joel Embiid, as long as you do what Joel Embiid customarily does, but some other people don't, we're going to look at them before we look at Joel Embiid. Because if he does what we expect him to do, we're going to say he did his job.
Yeah.
You can't do it by yourself. He did his job.
Hey, one word answer here. Would you take the Sixers or Heat in the next round, Frank?
Heat.
Stephen A?
Heat.
Okay, keep it going. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
How many rings do you have, Robert Kraft? Our first take drop blitz continues with the Patriots. New England lost offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. Huge loss. He's the newest coach of the Raiders, while the Pats' marquee move was locking in safety Devin McCourty for at least one more season. Their only first-round pick in this year's draft is the 21st spot. A big focus this season will be the progression of last year's first-round pick. That would be quarterback Matt Jones. Here to help us break it all down, the one and only Mel Kiper Jr. There he is.
Yeah.
Mel, great to see you. Mel, recently you said that Mac Jones would probably be the top quarterback in this draft class if he were coming out this year and not last year. So tell me this. Do you believe Bill Belichick can turn Jones into a real franchise quarterback?
Potentially, Molly. He doesn't have the kind of skill set that you normally say a franchise quarterback has, but keep in mind, Tom Brady didn't have that either, running at 5'2", 440, and only a 24 vertical, lowest numbers I've ever had for a quarterback coming out that was actually written up by me in terms of an analysis. So Mac Jones is always going to be the smartest man in the building, okay? Any position, any quarterback, on a scale of 1 to 10, he's a 20 in terms of intelligence, football IQ. That will take him a long way. It took him to the number one spot of all the rookie quarterbacks this year when he was the last of that top group taken last year. Does he need help around him? Yes, he's both tight ends on the field at the same time. He needs Devontae Parker to have that impact, and obviously he's got to keep improving that arm strength. It's happened with Breeze, it happened with Manning, it's happened with other quarterbacks, Brady included. Arm strength got better once they were in the league as the years moved along. So things have to fall into place. There's tremendous quarterback talent, obviously, in the AFC, obviously, in their division with the great Josh Allen. So they're going to have to surround Mac. They're going to have to hope that he becomes similar to a Brady, where he knows so much about everything. He's so competitive. He can overcome a lack of mobility, which is the big thing that separates him from, say, Joe Burrow. Burrow has that same mindset, but Burrow can move the chains with his legs. Mac Jones usually cannot.
Mel Kiper Jr., you're always good to see you, my brother. I got to ask you something, because so many people look at you and they ask questions about the players. I'm going to twist this a little bit because I respect your knowledge that much, and I'm going to ask you about the coach. We can look at Mac Jones, but Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, has now departed for the Las Vegas Raiders. And obviously we've been hearing that Bill Belichick is going to be the dude that's calling the plays now. How much are you concerned, if at all, about the fact that Bill Belichick, a head coach whose signature was defense prior to becoming a head coach and being the phenomenal coach that he is, the seven-time champion as a head coach that he is, how do you feel about Bill Belichick being that guy calling plays and running the offense for the New England Patriots and Mac Jones?
Well, you got Joe Judge, who has experience on the offensive side of the ball, coaching wide receivers early on. You have Matt Patricia, has experience coaching the offensive line. So both these individuals have been on the offensive side of the ball, Stephen A. And if you're a great defensive mind, you know what it takes to attack you. So from an offensive standpoint, it's basically back and forth there. So the knowledge has to be both ways. So Bill Belichick, while he's a great defensive mind, also knows about, hey, if I'm an offense, I know how to go against this defense that I'm seeing. So I don't get to why you have to label one just an offense or defensive guy. If you're attacking a defense, you know all about that defense and vice versa. So they'll figure it out. And Mac Jones, keep in mind, Stephen A., as I said, isn't just average to slightly above average in terms of football IQ. He is one of the smartest quarterbacks I've seen come into the NFL in a long, long time. And that's what's taken him to this point where you can overcome a lack of mobility, overcome a lack of big time arm strength to become last year the best of that tremendous group of rookie quarterbacks, where he was the guy that fell to New England. They just fell in their lap. Yeah. Nobody tried to trade up to this guy. Nobody felt good enough about Mac Jones to go get him. He fell to 15, and here he is a Patriot. So he will overcome a lot as Tom Brady did. He's not going to be Tom Brady. Let's not ever go there. But can he be a Super Bowl winning quarterback in New England? Potentially he can, but the AFC is so great a quarterback. Yep. You know, it's spectacular quarterbacks that it's going to be very, very difficult to do what Brady did. If you're Mac Jones, you're coming anywhere close to that in terms of Super Bowls. If he gets one, he'll be lucky.
But Mel, I got to ask you this as well, because you've been around so long, you've been covering all of these guys, and you saw how Tom Brady was when he came into the draft, when he came into the NFL, rather, right? So I'm looking at it back in those days. Now, we look at Mac Jones now. The football IQ is up there. The athleticism is not. Mm-hmm. You obviously, you're not saying Tom Brady, and I get you on that, but you're basically drawing comparisons as it pertains to what he's lacking and what he brings to the table. In today's NFL culture, how much of a factor is that compared to when Tom Brady came in? When I look at today's game, I'm thinking about the duality of quarterbacks, the fact that they can run with the football, they can throw the football. There's very few dudes that can that are just one-dimensional and are successful. Essentially, that's what we're saying about Mac Jones. Don't expect him to run with the daggone football. He's not the most athletic dude in the world. He doesn't have those kind of wheels. He's a guy that's going to stand in the pocket and fling that football. Is that an impediment? Is that a problem? What are your thoughts about that in today's game?
It's been brought up a lot, Steve. I had argument with a lot of people, or disagreements, I should say, about, you know, Mac Jones and the so-called pocket passer that's a dinosaur in the NFL. And my comment last year, at the same time when we were debating Mac Jones, whether he should even be a first-round pick or not, because a lot of people thought he shouldn't, okay? I said, well, if he's a dinosaur, why is Tom Brady at age 44 still winning a Super Bowl? You know, why is he, you know, he's the ultimate pocket guy. He, like I said, the worst 40-time reverse vertical of any quarterback in 45 years I've ever evaluated, outside of Ryan Mallett, who was right there. Ironically, Mallett was drafted by the Patriots. And here's Mac Jones, who is faster and more athletic than Tom Brady. But I think when you look at catching lightning in a bottle, Tom Brady was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of quarterback. End of the sixth round, he took a cornerback from Virginia, ahead of him in the sixth round, and here he is, greatest of all time. Johnny Unitas, same type of thing. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen that often, where Johnny Unitas, Tom Brady, overlooked by everybody, become the best in the business. So Mac Jones, like I said, if he can win one Super Bowl at New England, I think the over-under for Super Bowls won by Mac Jones, I would put at a half or one, okay? Mm. Because it ain't going to happen. It's too many great quarterbacks in the AFC. The NFC's got their share as well, and there's more great quarterbacks coming into the draft next year.
Absolutely. Let's just say Tom Brady is a complete outlier. I want to go to the AFC West, though, because it is loaded after this offseason, Mel. And we're going to look at the Chargers. So you were obviously high on Justin Herbert, coming out of the draft. And he's impressed. And he's been incredibly impressive, except he hasn't gotten his team to the playoffs, just barely making the cut there last season. So who do the Chargers need to draft to get Herbert to the postseason?
They got the left tackle Slater, Molly and Stephen A. last year, who was really good. And now the right tackle spot, where Trevor Penning, coming out of Northern Iowa, could be the guy. Now the New Orleans Saints pick ahead could look at Trevor Penning as a left tackle. For the Chargers, he would be a right tackle and an immediate starter. Technique needs to improve, but that nastiness, that fire, that talent is there for Trevor Penning. The O-line coach has got to get him to where the technique improves. He's got more bend that he can deal with the quick outside pass rushers in the NFL better than obviously he had to do at the 1AA level. If they don't get Trevor Penning and say he goes one pick earlier or he's not on the board, then Jordan Davis, the huge mountain of a man at defensive tackle, that run stuffer who can help out. They went to free agency, got a couple guys can help. Jordan Davis could solidify an interior of that defense. It was gashed last year. Remember Jacobs on that 11-yard run after they called timeout to get in there where they could win that football game? Well, that defensive front was horrible. And if Penning's gone, I would look to maybe Jordan Davis, defensive tackle from Georgia.
All right, we got to leave it there because we're up against it. Mel, 1 week from today, cannot wait. The NFL draft will be here. Mel Kiper Jr., we'll talk to you soon.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Warriors are sitting pretty with a 2-0 lead on reigning MVP Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets. Golden State's small ball lineup showing its talent with Steph Curry, Klay, and Jordan Poole lighting it up while Draymond Green keeps the MVP at bay defensively. Frank, do you believe? Here we are all the way back back with the Doves and the Warriors. Stephen A., you've been saying it all along, but I just feel like we could be headed back there. Do you believe the Warriors can win the title this season?
And remember, we talked a lot about them in October, November, even December, and then Steph Curry got hurt.
Yeah.
And then you had, obviously, the Phoenix Suns doing what they were doing.
Yeah, we didn't know about Clay.
I don't think they will. I think the road is going to be difficult, and I get it. Steph Curry, Clay Thompson, and Draymond Green, all that experience. But Clay still, to me, is not all the way back. I think it's still going to take until next season. I'm not going to give up on the Phoenix Suns. I think with Devin Booker, that hamstring injury maybe keeps them out of this series. I think they'll get past New Orleans. But the one thing about the Phoenix Suns and what they've done this year about taking the regular season seriously, and they got so close to the finish line last year, Molly, and Chris Paul, he wants to end his career. Not that he's going to end this year, but he wants to have a championship on that resume. I think the motivation is there. I think the experience is there. And their role players, guys like Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Ayton, I think they're ready for this moment. By the way, Mikal Bridges, and you'll like this, Steve, because I know we complain about players not playing. He led the league in total minutes. Do you know if this was the year 2003, he would have been 36th in total minutes. This year, he's first. There's just something about this Phoenix Suns team. Yeah. I just don't think Golden State is going to get it all together. I think the road is too difficult. Again, all the respect in the world for that group. I don't think they do it this year.
Okay.
Well, to piggyback off of what you said, I mean, as it pertains to people being available and showing up to work, there's only five players in the NBA that haven't missed a game this year.
Yep.
Five. Out of 450 plus.
Amazing.
That is the lowest in NBA history. That's a damn travesty. And that's something that the NBA will address. You and I both know if collective bargaining negotiations are going to be very, very interested with some of the stuff that that some of these players, not most, not all, but some of these players have tried to get away with. NBA ain't having it, and damn it, I don't blame them. Now, having said all of that, you're talking about the Phoenix Suns and how they're worthy and warranted, and it's warranted that they're the favorites. I don't disagree with that. I think they are the favorites. I think from start to finish, when you consider the level of consistency that they've put on display, they, without question, have been the best team in basketball. I've seen the best team in basketball get knocked off before, and so have you. And I think this is a year it's going to happen. I ain't betting against these Golden State Warriors, bro. And ain't no no shade. There's no shade on the Phoenix Suns. What I saw from the Warriors, and I got it, matchups, styles make fights. We know that Denver's in over their head because they don't have Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. I get all of that. When you look at Jokic and the big boy DeMarcus Cousins as well, these are guys that you got that set up, but that doesn't work in a matchup like this because you got thoroughbreds, roadrunners on the other side that are the Golden State Warriors, and they ran Denver out of the state in game two, out of the state. I mean, I haven't seen a performance like that. I mean, it was something spectacular to behold, and I was actually going to go to that game Monday night, Frank. I was actually going to go to that game, and I said, you know what, I got to be back here too early, I ain't going to do it. So I didn't go to the game, and damn it, I regret it. I really regret it. I should have went to that game because it was that spectacular to behold. Steph Curry, Clay, and then Jordan Poole. This young brother is something special. He is something special. And he's more like Steph Curry than Clay. His movement without the ball, his ball handling skills, his ability to use those skills to get to the basket, and the range with which he pulls up from. Now, that mirrors both Clay and Steph. But Clay don't handle the ball like that, okay? And so when I look at it from that perspective, I just say, I got a nickname for them, Frank Isola. It's Lethal Weapon 3. Remember, I ain't talking about the movie with Danny Glover and Mel Gibson Jr.
Get out of here.
I'm not talking about the movie.
You're reaching.
Hold on. I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about Georgia Tech, Kenny Anderson, Dennis Scott, Brian Oliver. You remember that back in the day. It was something special. And I'm looking at Poole, Steph, and Clay, and that's my nickname for them, Lethal Weapon 3.
Hang on, you must be going a little soft out on the West Coast. We didn't know anything about Cam Johnson last year. What did he do for Phoenix? Mikal Bridges, think about the way that he played. Same thing with DeAndre, and how about Campaign coming off the bench? So the players that we had question marks about last year for Phoenix, they delivered. Be honest now, Steve, Andrew Wiggins? Jordan Poole has been great, no question about it. How's he going to do in a big road game and against a team like Phoenix? We don't know that. His agent already called, and thank you for putting him in the same category as Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, but we don't know that yet.
Hold on, wait a minute. I'm talking about this young talent. First of all, he's averaging 29. I just want to throw that out there. He's averaging 29 and a half in the first two games, in his first two playoff games. Okay. It's not like I'm just saying he had 30 and 29. That's number one, right? Number two, I'm looking at a skill set. Certainly, you know what? The jury's still out. Got to show up. If you go up against Memphis in the next round, assuming they get past Minnesota, you got to go up against them brothers who won all the smoke, right? Came in the game two, handled their business like they were supposed to. They better had, damn it, okay? Then you got Phoenix. If you're fortunate enough to get past that, don't get me wrong. I'm fully aware of the challenges. I'm just saying, I believe in those brothers. You believe in certain people. Why can't I? I'm looking at Steph and Klay. Their resume speaks for itself.
Let me get in
this
here real
brother
quick.
Right here,
yeah,
with them on the court, Lord have mercy.
Stephen, I'm with
Lethal
you. Here's,
weapon
here's
three.
Where I want to challenge you. I highlighted it earlier. This hamstring, he's been dealing with hamstrings quite a bit, Devin Booker. So you're not concerned from that standpoint that Book's not healthy?
I am concerned about it, but I think the matchups are such. And then once again, this is the benefit of being the number one seed.
Yeah.
Because the other teams that they will have to face could be Dallas. You don't know about Luka. Could be Utah. What did they do last year? They couldn't even beat the Clippers in the last two games without Kawhi. So that's
without Kawhi.
And for me,
Series and the next series, you're not concerned, even if Booker's not 100%.
Yes. And the thing about Booker, I'm not saying he's Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
But he's the one guy in the league from a mentality standpoint, ability to make contested shots.
Love Booker.
He reminds me of Kobe. He wants to win. That dude is driven. He used to be driven by 70-point games in losses. He's not like that anymore, Steve. You know, he'll end games with 46 points where he doesn't feel the need to stay out there and shooting threes. I get it, the injury, Molly's 100% right.
Yeah.
It's a concern, but I do think the matchups and the position that they're in, they can survive a week, maybe 2 weeks without Devin Booker. And I think if they get to the finish line, the one thing about Devin Booker, and they've taken on the personality of Chris Paul, there's a nastiness to this team. Phoenix used to be it used to be a country club, not a country club anymore.
It's a pick-em. Let me be very clear. The Phoenix Suns are damn well better win without Devin Booker. They should be able to beat the Pelicans without Devin Booker. They should be able to beat Utah or Dallas with Luka Doncic hobbled and all that. They should be able to win that series too. I know that I don't expect to see Devin Booker before the conference finals. And the Phoenix Suns, we ain't even talking about them beating the Warriors if they don't have Devin Booker. You scratch that. They need him in order to beat Devin Booker. I'm saying with Devin Booker, it's still hard for me to bet against. I know Phoenix can beat them. I know Phoenix should be the favorites. But it's hard for me to bet against these Warriors.
I think he's going to run for governor of California. That's what it is. He's in L.A. He's pulling
for the Warriors.
What happened to this
guy? The state needs a lot of help, so it might not be a bad idea.
He's Mr. New Yorker. Now he's Mr.
That's why I call you Benedict Arnold, Molly.
No, Stephen A., I said California needs a lot of help. That's what I said. He said you should run for governor. I said they need help. But you got to tuck the chain in.
We're complimenting you.
They ain't ready for me. They ain't ready for me in California. I know this much. The crime and all. Oh, I clean that up. I promise you that. Please, that ain't playing.
I'm the Benedict Arnold, but he forgot that he's from New York. It's whatever. Listen, I like
Frank. Just like the sunshine and weather, man. I'm coming back to New York tonight.
Oh, okay. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
tonight. The Jazz and Mavs play Game 3 in Utah, currently tied at 1. But Game 2 was one to forget for the Jazz, who gave up 41 points to Jalen Brunson and allowed Dallas to make 22 threes, a playoff record for the team. Now, Stephen A. had mentioned before that the Knicks brass was at the last game scouting Donovan Mitchell. And Frank, you've been covering the Knicks since the 90s. So should this be Donovan's last season in Utah? Would you like to see him come back home to this New York tri-state area?
I like how you drew at the 90s like it was like 5 decades ago. They were also there to see Jalen Brunson,
well,
by
actually,
the way.
Well, actually, it was 1995, and then I wasn't going to say it, and then I was actually trying to cover for you. But AJ, nothing but a number. You look great.
100%. So Jalen Brunson's another guy they'd love to have. Here's the thing about Donovan Mitchell. You're 100% right, and he'd be great in the Knick uniform. Mm-hmm. Remember who's running the Utah Jazz. That's Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge isn't just going to give Donovan Mitchell to the New York Knicks. And I get it. Players today, player empowerment, you can kind of force your way there. But Danny Ainge wants to get back stars. So I don't think Danny Ainge has a problem trading players, but he likes bringing back stars. So that whole dynamic should be factored in. Mm-hmm.
So in other words, the New York Knicks have absolutely nothing to offer the Utah Jazz, even if Donovan Mitchell tries to force his way out. That's all Frank Isola just said, which was just a means that the producers used just to depress me while I'm in L.A. That's all they did that for. That's all they did that for. I don't want to talk about the Knicks. I don't want to talk about them. I'm so We'll be cool.
What about Jalen Brunson? They can get him?
No. I like him. He's really good.
Winning player.
Very pleased with him.
Who do you want, Stephen A.? Who's good enough?
I want Donovan Mitchell.
Giannis.
I want Donovan Mitchell. I really do. Yep. That, by the way, the same Donovan Mitchell that Phil Jackson passed up on so he could draft Frank Ntilikina.
He's not going to be in France doing the show, that's for sure, if he keeps dogging Frank Nilly.
Okay, let's carry on in the words of Kendrick Perkins here, and we'll go to the other New York team that's struggling as well. So yesterday, Steve Nash said it's up to Ben Simmons on when he will return, with our Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that based on his progress in practices this week, Game 4 versus Boston on Monday is a realistic target for his Brooklyn debut. Frank, I don't even know why I'm asking you this. What should we expect from Simmons? Because this is a tough thing to answer. The man hasn't played in a year.
If you say ramping up or Steve says ramping up, I'm walking off the set. I can't take that expression anymore.
No, I'm not.
The last time he played was June 20th. And in that playoff series, he really struggled. In fact, he was 14 of 45, not on threes, not on twos, from the free throw line.
Yeah.
What can we realistically expect from Ben Simmons when you haven't played for that long? Maybe he could defend, a situational type of player he can be. You can't be thinking he's going to be the guy that's going to save us. That's not the case. The guys that'll save the Brooklyn Nets, Molly, are going to be Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving.
S.A.?
The man hasn't played a game of basketball in 10 months and one day. 10 months ago to the day yesterday was the last time Ben Simmons has been on the basketball court. But you have a back injury. How? How? I want to know.
Oh, well, I mean, I want to know right now.
I want to know because I'm still waiting for that information. And I don't ask these kind of questions, okay? But damn it, we going to change that. What the hell were you doing that you hurt your back? And now it's a back injury. So I guess it's not emotional issues no more, right? It's not that. We take that very, very serious. We take mental illness very, very seriously. Suddenly, that ain't it. Suddenly, you all right. But now it's the back. You know something? It just drives me nuts. But he made sure the back healthy enough to pick up the phone, call his representatives so he can get his money back with that $20 million grievance he's filed, right?
Stephen A., I was in the gym yesterday. I was doing some
he needs to show up.
And all of a sudden, I got a little tweak, and I'm all jacked up, laying on the floor all night. It can happen. Give the man a break.
To New York.